good friend, amazing preacher, and let's just sit back. Let's welcome him to Bethel as he does a brief for us.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, friends, at Bethel Baptist Church. I have so been looking forward to getting to be with you this morning. I see some of you have your God is Big Enough bracelets on, and I brought the pastor another installment of those if you need them. I just praise the Lord for simple ways to share his love with folks. So about 4 months ago, I'm preaching at one of the churches in our association, First Baptist in Elgin, Texas. And after it was over, there was a fellow there to say something to me afterward. And he looked like he was a little uneasy. And I wasn't in fear of my life or anything. But he came up to me and he said, I want to talk to you about your sermon today. And I said, okay. And he said, yesterday I was at Charles Mon Toyota. And I was looking for a car. And on the ground was this bracelet. And he picked up the exact God is Big Enough bracelet. And he said, I don't typically make it the habit of picking things up off the ground and putting them on, but I put it on. And then I came to church this morning, and you just happened to be here, and you happened to reference that. And I'm trying to figure out, what does that mean for me? You know, don't ask us pastors what that means, because we'll run. And I told him, I said, brother, I think God wants you to share your faith with other people. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you how excited I am that your pastor is leading you well to be on mission for God. See, it's not a convenient idea. It's not something good to do. It's not something to think about. But God has called us to go and make disciples. We need to engage our lost friends and neighbors with the message of Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you this morning, it really comes through personal relationships. Right next door to us is a husband and wife and their young son. They are in their mid to late 30s. And in the course of getting to know Ian and his wife, I have found out that they have never, ever attended church. And I thought to myself, you know, as Baptist folks, as Christian folks, as Christ followers, we would typically find someone and we would invite them to go to church. Guess what? In this case, I don't think that's going to work. They've chosen, for whatever reason, not to go to church. And so what they need is a relationship with a Christian. They need to see who a Christian is, and hopefully we're going to live a good example for them. And then they have an interest in coming and learning of the things of Christ. And I applaud you for what you're doing. I can just imagine kids all over the world getting these boxes and having the gospel presented to them and hearing Jesus and the other things that you're doing. So as your pastor mentioned, and when I describe Pastor Gene, he is my friend. I called him this week. I said, I hope I'm still on for Sunday. He said, yes. I said, well, let me tell you what I'm thinking about. And he was so very gracious, and he said, man, I like that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, we're going to look at a miracle that Jesus performed. But today, this is going to be a little unusual. I'm going to ask you to think of yourself in this miracle setting. Because as we draw this sermon to a conclusion in just a few minutes, what I want to do is I want to pose to us a question that hopefully all of us will consider. If you read the Gospel of John, and by the way, if you introduce somebody to Jesus, one of the greatest places for them to start is the Gospel of John. In fact, at my office, we have little booklets of the Gospel of John in English and in Spanish, and I'm happy to share those with you if that would be of help to you. Just to give you an overview of the book, in John chapters 1 through 4, the author, John, and the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, he's introducing Jesus to the Jewish people. But then in chapter 5 and through the end of the book, Jesus begins to do miracles, and that really puts off the Jewish people. And this is the very first miracle that we come into, John chapter 5. By now you will have gotten there. We're going to look at verses 1 to 9. And as I read, you follow along. It says, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For the angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Let's pray. Father, if we were to close in prayer and walk out right now, your word has such power, God, that it would literally do its work in our life. This morning, Father, I am honored to be your spokesman. But God, I pray your presence and your Holy Spirit might translate this passage into each and every life. Father, there were a multitude of people laying around that pool, and yet you picked out one to heal. God, I don't know the exact number of us here this morning, but God, as I've prayed this week and as I pray this morning, God, I think you have got a word for each and every one of us. So God, what is it that you would speak to me? God, what is it that you would speak to each and every one of us? And God, may we receive today your healing in whatever area of our life, God, needs to be healed. God, we pray your blessing over the study of your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. This man has been sick for 38 years. Jesus finds him, seeks him out, and heals the man. But this morning, as I suggested a little bit earlier, I hope we can all see ourselves in a sense as maybe helpless, maybe weak, maybe a little bit crippled, lying at the pool of Bethesda. We're all laying around that pool and we're all wanting to be healed. There's something in all of our lives that's just a little bit off, not quite what we would like it to be. We might describe it as a lameness or a helplessness or just a weakness, but we just want Jesus to come and to show himself into our life. It says in verse number 6, it says, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Now, Jesus knows everything. Jesus knows everything that's going on in your life. And in fact, it's so interesting to me because often when we get into jams, we go to the Lord in prayer and we almost go like we're telling him something that he doesn't know. Lord, pay attention. We've got a big one coming here. And I want to make sure that you know. Listen, the psalmist David said this about God's interest in his life. He said, "Lord, if I were to count the grains of sand on the seashore, they would not outnumber your thoughts towards me." I mean, God knows you and I down to the very cellular level of our life. Listen, he knows what's going on. But sometimes, I think he comes to us knowing all that about us and says, "David, do you want to be healed? David, do you want me to step in and take care of that for you?" Now, at first glance, you say, "Of course, yeah." But you know what? I know many people, they don't want to be healed. I know people that, you know, their problems, yeah, they're tough stuff, but, you know, I don't know. I just kind of keep them. I know people who are struggling with alcohol. And people around them try to help them to get help, but until they themselves say, I want to get help, or maybe it's relational problems. Maybe it's a whole host of things. Maybe it's anger. I don't know what it is. But Jesus comes to this man and he says, do you want to be healed? And I want to submit to you this morning that all of us in our lives, we have to answer that question for ourselves. And maybe this morning it is that God will speak into our lives and we'll have to respond back, you know, Lord, no, not right now. I'm making it. I'm clicking on. Now, I want you to listen to what the man says. The sick man, verse 7, answered him, sir, wait a minute. Hello. The question, do you want to be healed? The answer should be
yes or no.
Yes or no? Yes. And it ought to be yes. Want to be healed? And what does he do? Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is troubled. And while I am going, another one steps down before me. In fact, the only hint that I can get from his response that he wants to be healed is when he says, and while I am going. So there's an action there that he's taking part in, but he didn't answer the question. He makes an excuse. Now be careful. It's easy for us to be harsh onto this guy. Oh, come on. You should have said yes. But sometimes, maybe, we say, yeah, I'd like to be healed, but I don't want to put up with all the things that it'll take for me to be healed, because I kind of like, you know, all of this other stuff that's going on. Maybe you've been tired of stopping drinking. And you know that alcohol's ruining your life and your family and your home. You think you've got it under control. It's amazing to me how many people casually feel they are in control of something when they're out of control of that. Many of you know that I have developed a friendship with many of my homeless friends. And it's real easy for me, and it was for a long time, to look at them and say, well, you're on meth, or you're on crack, or you're on this drug or that drug. And that addiction has overwhelmed you. You know what I've come to the conclusion is? We're all addicted to something. Yes. And what I want to be is I want to be addicted to Jesus. Yes. Now, I'm sitting there hanging out with my friends, and we typically, when my office was in its former location, we'd have oatmeal together, and we'd have coffee together, and we'd pray together. And it hit me one morning. I said, you know what? You're addicted to this and you're addicted to that, and I'm probably kind of addicted to carbs and to sugar. Man, I'm telling you what, every time I sit down, I feel like it's my last meal. I ought to eat 3 or 4 times what I need because it might not come back. Now, you know what? Hey, you know what's interesting? We all laugh. Because being overweight and eating too much, hey, you know, that's not as bad as anything else. You know what? They tell me I'm wrecking my heart. I met with one of our pastors the other day. We went and had a great breakfast, and he was going to order him some pancakes that had all kind of stuff all over it. And I looked over to him, and he was giving him an insulin shot before he ate his pancakes. And I thought, wow, that's bad. That's probably not a good thing. But then the Lord helped me realize I'm not any better on any of those kinds of things. So this guy, he makes excuse in the story, you know, as to what he wants or doesn't want to have happen. But then there's this critical point. There's this critical moment in the story when Jesus speaks to this man. He asks him if he wants to be healed. The guy's kind of skirting the issue. Jesus evidently assumes that the guy wants to. Now, did Jesus say, and I wrote down a few things, I'll help you get into the pool next time the water's troubled. He didn't say that. He didn't offer that kind of help. Did he say, hey, hang on, man, keep coming here. Maybe someday you'll make it in time. Someday it'll work out. Someday you'll be at the right edge of the pool when it's troubled and you can just kind of fall in. And he didn't say that either. Did he say, hey, let's at least make you comfortable. We'll get you a new pallet. Maybe we'll plant some flowers around you. We'll get somebody to bring you some meals. You know, all of those responses are what man brings to the situation. But when you're talking about an almighty God, he is in a position to heal you. He's in a situation where he can transfer everything. And Jesus says very simply, rise, take up your pallet, and walk. And in those brief phrases, Jesus asked him to do three pretty incredible things, or three incredible things happen. Notice the method. Number one, he asked him to do the impossible. For 38 years, this guy hasn't gotten well, and Jesus does the impossible. Let me ask you this morning, what do you need Jesus to do in your life that you've been unsuccessful to do in your life? What are you in your life struggling with that you need Jesus to show up and do that you haven't been able to do in your own life? And this is a critical clue that often we miss. It requires us to step out in faith. I mean, Jesus could have said, rise, take up your pallet, and walk. And that guy still sits there and says, I don't think it's going to happen. If he doesn't make a move in faith, he's still sitting by the pool. And my concern for you and for me is that I'll be so comfortable hanging out around the pool of Bethesda that I don't experience all that God has for me. But Jesus just doesn't say, rise. What does he say? He says, take up your pallet. And as G. Campbell Morgan says, in order to make no provision for relapse. I mean, the guy could have said, hey, you know what? I'm healed, but I better leave my bed here because, you know what? I could come back tomorrow. This thing could get bad again. I want to tell you, you and I, we need not to make provision to go back on what you've done. If it's alcoholism, go home and pour out the alcohol. If it's drugs, get rid of the drugs. If it's an issue with pornography, get rid of it. A friend of mine, Rick Randall, pastored a church called Austin Cornerstone. And they, for a period of 9 months, Pastor Gene, intently prayed that God would bring him lost people. They were excited about the fellowship that they had, but they really felt like they needed to be a better witness to the community. So Julie and I were asked to come and to speak at a Valentine's banquet there, and we met a couple that had come to faith in Christ. And so as we sat down at the table, I said, tell me your story. And they said, well, we live in this neighborhood, and we walk occasionally, and we walk by this church, and it was about the new year, and we said, you know what, we ought to go check out church. Now, I believe that they checked out church because the church was praying like crazy and the power and the presence of God was so strong that they were going by and they were going, ooh, man, something feels great about that church. Yeah. I need to check that out. Yeah. Now, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about church. So they said, we came to church and the pastor preached, and that's the first time that we'd ever heard God's word open. And afterward, we walked down front and we told the pastor, man, we got to have what you've got. And so Rick led them to faith in Jesus Christ. And they said, so now what do we do? And he said, well, you need to go home and you need to read the Gospel of John. And they went home and they read the Gospel of John and they read a little further and read a little further and read a little further. Now remember, this is the first time they've ever been in church. First time they ever heard about Jesus in their whole life. And I said, so tell me what you did. And they said, well, one of the things that we want to tell you about ourselves is that we both worked to make enough money to buy drugs, and literally, we did drugs. That's what we did. We have a house, we have business, and all this kind of thing, but we do a lot of drugs. And they said, we got to the end of that, and we decided that what we would do is we would take, he said, I had a Crown Royal bag, and I took the Crown Royal bag, and I put in all of the drugs that we had left, and all the drug paraphernalia that we had left, and I closed it up, and I took a hammer, and I just mashed it all. And I'm just sitting there going, wow, that's got to be gazillions of dollars that you just burned up. And he said, yeah. And I said, you can imagine when I called my drug dealer and I told him I'm not buying any more drugs. And I said, that was it. I said, so you've had a lifelong of drug addiction, and all on that one day, that moment, you're done, you're gone. He goes, yep, we're done.
Glory to God.
Made no provision for going back. And then Jesus, thirdly, he tells this guy, hey, walk, move forward. I think when the Lord steps into our life and heals us, I think there's an expectation on his part that we're going to continue to succeed and move forward in him.
Amen.
Now, here's what you're saying. I know it. You're going, wait a minute. You're the Austin Baptist Association guy. You're supposed to talk to us about missions. But here's what happened. As I was praying about this and thinking about what I would share, and as I shared with your pastor, I told him, I said, you know what? We as believers are not very successful in terms of sharing our faith and going on mission if we're sitting around all messed up ourselves. I mean, if we are not willing to rise, take up our pallet, and walk, how are we going to introduce that to anybody else? Now, I know you could say, well, okay, fine. I'm not perfect. I never claim to be perfect. I'm not telling anybody about Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm talking about this morning. What if during my sermon this morning, there's been something in your life that God has revealed to you that He wants to heal? And if I could right now, I would call you all by name and I would say, with your name, do you want to be healed? And I don't even have to know what that healing is, because you do and Jesus does. So I asked Pastor Gene if I could do this, and he has so graciously accommodated. He has tapped a couple of you to come forward and to be my prayer team. Not my prayer team, God's prayer team. And you can pick any one of us, and you can come, and what we want to do is we just want to pray for you. See, I think that Jesus could have gone to the Pool of Bethesda. And again, you just laugh with me. When I read the Bible, I just read it with all kind of creativity. Jesus could have walked at the Pool of Bethesda and said, y'all are healed, go on. Could have happened. But I think what Jesus is interested in is letting you know that personally and individually, He loves you and He wants to heal you. And so Pastor Gene said that it would be okay. And I appreciate his heart. For myself, along with these others, to be down here. And maybe we can have our praise team to maybe sing some light music behind us or some instrumental behind us. And let's just ask God to heal us of whatever it is that's going on in our lives. I'm going to pray, and when I conclude in prayer, I'll be down here. The other folks will be here. And this is just our response to God's word. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you so, so much, Father, that you're still interested in the one, in the individual. The 99 sheep are safe. There's one. You go after the one. God, I know for myself this week, there have been times as I've been preparing for this that I've come back to you and said, Lord, yes, I want to be healed. And God, I thank you for those experiences this week. But God, this morning, I pray that each and every person would consider. They would consider, God, turning over to you that issue, that problem, that struggle. Maybe that marriage relationship, Lord. Maybe that addiction to some substance, God, that is taking them away from being all that you would have them to be. Maybe it's an anger issue, Father. Maybe it's a bitterness issue. Father, I pray that we would lay it at your feet, that God, we'd walk out of here rising, taking up our pallet that we're not ever going to lay down on again, and walk, God, in your victory. So, God, you lead us as we pray and as we, God, receive your healing. In your name I pray. Amen.